So good morning again, and encourage you to get your bulletin out, your outlines out, and ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we continue our study in this letter, this letter of Paul. We've been going through 2 Corinthians for quite some time now. We're in chapter 8 and 9 where we're studying the topic of Christian giving. We're in part 4 today, part 4, 5 be next week, and I think we're going to be moving on. I don't know, we'll see how the Lord works on that. But I had been anticipating chapter 10 and all that's there. I get so excited about each thing that is before us. So sometimes I got to stay in the moment and go with where we're at and allow the Lord to just minister to my heart on as we would study His Word and apply it to our lives, what we've been looking at. We'll be looking at chapter 8, verses 10, all the way through chapter 9, verse 5. And we'll get your outline out. We're going to get through all of these principles that are in here, because they do really flow together. And I said once before, and encourage you again, if you're going to miss any of the five parts here, make sure you get a CD or you download it on the website. You can look at the sermons there, and because they all kind of flow together. We've already learned the foundation to all giving. That's what we began with. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to give of Himself so you and me could have life. It's incredible. It's overwhelming. It's amazing. We can use every adjective that we want to live or use and all of that. But we've looked at all that. We've already looked at the example of giving that Paul wanted us to witness in chapter 8, verse 1 through 8, really the example of the Macedonian churches. We've seen their example that Paul wanted us to really witness in our heart. We saw their giving was generous, it was motivated by grace, it was with joy, it transcended the circumstances that they were in. They saw it as a privilege to give, as an act of worship to give. He taught that it's a virtue of life, just like all the other Christian virtues, and a proof of God's love flowing out of their lives. We witnessed that the grace of God at work in their living and in their lives, and Paul laid that out for us, and we went all through that. Today, what we do in these verses, Paul lays out for us the principles for us on being stewards of giving or stewardship of giving. And so we're going to talk about that a lot today. Stewardship. Stewardship means to manage or to administrate something. It's to manage or administrate something that you have, either yours or someone else has given you to manage or administrate. You can think of that in a lot of different ways. But that's what we want to look at here, because Paul teaches us in the Christian giving, there's a stewardship that we have. God has given us something, and He wants us to manage it, be responsible with it, use it rightly. In the kids' corner, I put a definition for the kids to look at today, and I want to read it as they would look at the things that they have and how God wants them to handle that. But I wrote it this way: stewardship means being responsible with what we have been given by God. That's really what it means, to be responsible with what God has given us. To use what God has given us for the right purpose. That's a stewardship that we've been given. You see, what is from God is all that we have, and He asks us to treat it or use it like He would want us to use it. It's called stewardship. All that we have is from Him. All that we have is from God, and He desires us to manage it or administrate it for His glory. If you looked at the front of your bulletin, then I'm just giving us a definition of stewardship to set in our heart and mind us before we would go through the message this morning. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 4:10. It says this: as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God is the multicolored grace of God. Like, take a color palette. With every color you can think, and what God has done, He has painted us, in a sense, using that illustration, He has painted us with all the gifts and abilities and talents and treasure and time and everything that God, by the manifold grace of God, has given to you in your salvation, in your life. It's multicolored, and we're to employ what God has given us in ministering to one another, being a steward of what God has given in that palette of painting of who you are, and the grace gifts that you have, and the resources that you have, and the abilities that you have, and the gifts of the Spirit to minister in the church. It includes all of them. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, he said it this way, writing to the Corinthians in his first letter, he said, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ. Each and every one of us are servants of Christ in whatever form that we are and whatever God's called us to be. We are all servants of Christ. When you came to Christ, you became a servant of Christ. He became your Lord and Savior, your master, your authority, your leader, all that you want to put into that. And we all became servants of Christ. And Paul wrote this, and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of a steward that one be found trustworthy. Well, the mysteries of God that we've all been given a stewardship is the transforming work of the gospel in our lives. Amen? You become a steward over that. God has changed your life. He has saved you, rescued you, delivered you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, putting your faith in him, all whatever your life is. You become a steward of the mystery that we can believe in Christ and be reconciled back to God, and that what Christ did on the cross, the gospel, all of the truth, paid the penalty of sin. We don't have to add anything to faith in Christ to be saved. And so just you could just say the mystery that has happened is that Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we are to be stewards over that has happened in our lives. I'm wanting you to see manager, steward, administrator of what God has given. Paul said in Ephesians 3:2 that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. The grace of God in the message of God in the truth of the gospels, what he talking about, that he says, given to me for you. Listen, God has given you out of a stewardship of grace, whoever you are, if you're saved, the message of God for someone else. Are you managing in that? Are you a steward over that? Are you using it rightly? This is what Paul is wanting us to understand as he would go through this. We have a stewardship of giving. Colossians 1:25 says, Paul says, that I was made a minister of this church according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me. What have you been made? Christian believer in Christ. Are you a godly wife? Has God made you a Christian with a husband, and that God has made you a godly wife? You have a stewardship to be a godly wife to your husband. Has God made you a husband? Has God made you a father? God is the one over all of this, made Paul a minister. He was not saved. He was on the works of the law, saw the truth of the Lord, repented, believed in Christ, and God made him some things, the Apostle Paul, to be some things in the world. And he said, I'm to be a steward over what God has made me for others, same as you and me. Now, we're not all the same, right, in what God has made us be. But God is over all of this. Whatever you are, where you're at, whatever abilities, whatever job you had, if you're talented as being a coach, as you're gifted to be a teacher, if you're whatever it might be, where you're placed, where it is, God has made you. Amen? That's right. It's absolutely true. This isn't a random thing. You're a believer in Christ, and God has given you a stewardship from God bestowed upon you for whatever it is. Jesus taught in Luke 16, and we won't go through that whole parable, that all the resources that we have, we are to be stewards over what God has given, his resources, for he owns it all, and he wants us to manage it. And as soon as we take ownership of it, in a sense, and that it's all ours, he reveals to us in our heart, what are we doing? All that we have is from God. That is the truth. All ability, talent, gifts, grace given, the message given us, the life given us, the hope given us, the resources given us are from God, and we have a stewardship to use it or treat it with integrity for God's purpose and why we have it. So in Christian giving, we have a stewardship of giving with integrity. We are to use it, treat it rightly. That's what Paul is teaching in these verses. It's the beginning foundation, what he's teaching the Corinthian church and what's going on. And we've looked at the foundation to all giving, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the example of giving and all those principles that we looked at. Now we're going to look at the stewardship of giving. And it's with integrity. It's using it rightly with what God has given. But before we get into the text, I have one other thing. I want to include the children today. I want to involve them in the message. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're 12 years or younger, can you please come up here with me? I have something to give you. I have something very valuable to give you. So if you are 12 and under, go ahead. You can go back to your seat after you've been given this great resource here. This is yours to have. You can keep it. You can do whatever you want with it. It is yours to have. You get $10 today. Whoever is 12 and under, and somebody might sneak in here. They're all going to come, aren't they? Here they come. Yes, they are coming. And guess what I did? I counted all the children in the church, and I got enough for each one of them. Here we go. Even the young adults. Here we go. Here they come. We can get them all involved, can't we? Here we go. There you go. There you go, Cam. There you go. There you go. There we go. Look. Colton, are you coming to get two? Oh, you're very welcome. Did anybody miss being part of it? It's a gift for you today. Can I give you one today? I'll come over and visit and come to you, okay? Here we go. Because, see, I want you to be part of the illustration in church today. You want to give? There you go. We got one more over there. Oh, you got one on the floor there, too. There you go. There's one on the floor there. Yeah, okay, Bob. Bob said, what if we act like a 12-year-old? Can we come on up? Okay. No, but, you know, this is important because I want to involve the children. Because guess what? You know, you've been given the $10 today by God's grace, whether you worked for it or not, whether you earned it or not. But see, God gives resources in this life, and it's so important for us as people to be able to teach each other and teach our children that we want to be a steward over what God has given us. And so you can use whatever you would want it to use. You can use it for going to book fair and buy a book. You can get some lunch. You can put it in your piggy bank. But here's what God wants you to do with it. Children, here's what God wants you to do with it. He wants you to be a good steward over what you have with integrity. He wants you in your relationship with Him. You might need to spend it on the need that you have. That's great. You might save it for something that's in the future. That's great. You may help and you might buy lunch with it. You might get some, you know what? But what God wants you to do in His relationship with you, He wants you to understand what you have been given. God wants you to use it in a manner worthy of what God gave it to you. And it actually is His that He said, here, this is the resources, the abilities, the talents, the times that I'm going to have. Will you be a steward over what I've given you and use it for God's glory? This is what Paul is teaching. So let's see what Paul says about that in our text, okay? Look with me at verse 10, and we'll just start working on our outline this morning. Look at verse 10, what Paul writes next. He says this, I gave my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage. Who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also a desire to do it. See, a year ago, the Corinthian church started to take up a collection to meet the needs of the Jerusalem church. It was a bountiful gift. It was a big gift. They knew it was going to be that. Paul talked to them about how to do that, collect, the first of the week and all of that kind of stuff. And we won't get on all to that. But Paul says this. I want you to catch what he says. In the matter of giving, I gave you my opinion. He said, I didn't command you to do it. Because if you look at verse 8, that's what he said in verse 8. I'm not commanding you guys to give. I'm not speaking this as a command, but proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. It's a love offering is what he's talking about. The giving isn't commanded by the word of God. Because here's the first thing. Stewardship of giving with integrity calls for voluntarily giving. That's what Paul is wanting us to understand and know. That's what it is. Paul says that I gave an opinion on the matter of giving. It's not a command, verse 8. I'm not commanded for you to abound in the gracious work. And in verse 3, he said, you're to give of your own accord. The Macedonians did. In the relationship with God, that what God had purposed in their heart, they gave. They gave with a cheerful attitude. They gave with a grateful attitude. They gave. See, nobody coerced them or manipulated them to give. And that's what Paul is wanting us to understand as we go through the teaching here. Stewardship of giving with integrity calls for voluntary giving. Nobody coerced them. Nobody manipulated them into giving. Yes, it's to your advantage. We'll get into that next week when we look at the fruit of the harvest that comes. He says it's to your advantage. But listen to this. Isn't it always to your advantage to be generous with what God has entrusted to you? Have you been entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it to your advantage to share that gospel, to live that gospel? You've been entrusted with the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the hope of God, the forgiveness of God. Have you been entrusted with the truth of God? Has it ever been a disadvantage to be generous with what you've been entrusted with? Absolutely not, right? It might be temporal disadvantage. You might say, oh, somebody doesn't like me now, or maybe persecution comes. But in the whole realm of purpose and looking at the truth of God, has it ever been a disadvantage for a Christian to be generous with what God has given them? Never. Never. So Paul is teaching here, yes, we want to be generous. We went all of the principles before and all that. Yes, we want to give, but it's voluntarily. Listen, that's how we're to give, from our heart, from our relationship with God. Listen, there's no number, there's no percentage. There's the Old Testament teachings, there's all of that in there. But in the New Testament, it is just a love offering in your relationship with God. And as God would work in your heart, and that you would give generously from your own heart to God, to the work of God, to meet the needs where we go to. Listen, I have a stewardship of teaching the truth of God about giving with integrity. I have a responsibility. I have to teach what God says, not to worry about whether or not the church has enough or people give, and to turn the teaching of God, because I'm worried about whether or not we're going to have enough. That's not what we're to do. We're to teach the truth of God, trusting in God to work in hearts, trusting, believing in God, in the grace of God, that He is sovereign over all that we have going on, and where we are in our relationship with Him, trusting in Him to lead and guide and provide, and it's up to Him how that goes, not according to how I would present God's word to coerce or manipulate or to coerce and manipulate. I couldn't think of another one. Into people to giving. Listen, Paul said a year ago you started to give generously and motivated by grace. What stopped them? False teaching stopped them. False teachers came in and said, hey, Paul, don't listen to him. He's manipulating you. He's not telling you the truth. Church got derailed. Repentance happened. Restoration happened. Paul's teaching on giving. You're to be a manager of what God has given you. Manage your resources. See the grace of God at work in your life. Be generous in your giving. It's voluntary, up to you and your relationship with God. Now listen, that's what you want to teach your children, isn't it? Because when you teach your children that it's out of your relationship with God, the things that they have, and I know children, I know how they are. We want to be grateful for the things that we have. We want to use them rightly. We don't want to take the bicycle and throw it off the second floor because it breaks it, and then that's not being responsible for what God has given. We want to care for the things that we give. We want to teach them that we want to invest. We want to give to the work of the ministry. We want to be a part of what God's doing. You want to teach your children that, and then the outcome of that reveals their heart. And any parent knows that's what you want to get to. You don't want to say, hey, well, if you give a percentage, you're good, move on. Because it isn't about that. It's not about towing a line or getting a mark in a column or about doing something. God has made it a relational aspect of us and our relationship with Jesus Christ to God. And He doesn't have things for us to say, okay, I took care of that. I gave 10% of my time, 10% of my talent, 10% of my treasure. I'm good with God. I can go live 90% of my life. It's never been like that. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that, and I know where some places that we're at in here and all that, but God wants all of you, and in His relationship with you, He knows how much He has of you, and He's at work in growing His relationship with you. This all fleshes out by the grace of God working in our lives, which we talked about last week. Next, stewardship of giving with integrity calls for faithfulness to your commitment. Look at verse 10 and 11. Let me read them together. Look what he said. Paul wrote this, I gave my opinion in the matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also desire to do it, but now finish doing it. Just as there was the readiness and desire to do it, that there may also be the completion of it in your own ability. Hey, all of us in our relationship with God come to commitments with the Lord, don't we? Isn't that a truth? It's about, you know, you and your relationship with God and making commitments to God and making, put it this way, in a relationship with God, we make a commitment to follow Christ. Do you do that? I want to follow Christ. You want to follow Christ? Anybody want to follow Christ with me today? We make a commitment. I want to follow Christ. Is God at work in that in your life? We're growing in our commitment to follow the Lord, aren't we? There's nobody in the room perfectly following the Lord, right? But you're a commitment. You're saying, I'm the Lord's. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord. I've committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to honor his word. I want to live rightly. I want to proclaim his gospel. I want to share his grace. I want to love him and love others. It's what Christian living is about. I'm making a commitment with God in that in my heart that this is what you've asked me to do, Lord. I'm going to commit. I want to be a part of this. And we know by the grace, the sanctifying grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's at work in each one of our lives, growing that in our lives, right? Honoring God's word. Are you growing in that or are you perfect in that? Growing in that, right? All right, all right. Loving God and loving others. Are you perfect in that or growing in that? Right? And so in the things that God has given you to manage and stewardship over, let's just say it in the right manner, of money, is God growing you in your relationship with him and your commitment that you want to honor him in your giving? It's the same Christian virtues, right? It's not separate. It's not outside of it. It's not any of that. Now, I know the world and how it does that, and I know our heart and our struggle in that, but it's all the same. God is at work in our lives with that. And he wants us to be faithful to our commitments. And I want to make a commitment to follow the Lord in my heart and to honor his word and to live rightly and to use whatever God has given me to build his kingdom, to store up treasure in heaven, to participate in the work of the Lord that is here. And Lord, your grace is going to need to work in my life, just like any other thing. And that's what Paul is saying. So that's stewardship with integrity in our giving, and it also calls for proportionate giving. Look at verse 12. Look what he said here. Paul's just writing this letter very simply and laying these things out. They're just right here before us. Verse 12, for if the readiness is present, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Listen, God is not expecting us to give generously beyond your means so you don't have anything. Yes, he'll have sacrificial giving. He'll do that in our life, in our relationship with him. But generally, he calls you to give according to what you have. That's how the relationship aspect goes in it. Proportionate to what you have. Now, let me ask you, how much grace, how much forgiveness, how much mercy, how much love have you been given? You are to be a steward of the grace, forgiveness, mercy, and love that you've been given, and you are to share and be generous with the mercy and grace and forgiveness and love that you've been given with those people around you. That's the Word of God. I could go all through the principles of the Word of God, but you know, who forgives much? The one that has been forgiven much. Who loves much? The one that's been loved much. Who has mercy? The one that understands the mercy of God. In my relationship with God, you can't even put a number on the love I've been given, the mercy I've been given, the forgiveness I've been granted. In my life, God's working on me to be a person that is generous with the mercy, grace, love, forgiveness. So if God has provided me any resources that are beyond meeting my needs, he's going to work in my life for me to be generous with it, right? And it will be giving proportionate to what I have. This is really good. This is what's true. This is what how God wants us to put this in our heart and mind and understand about what we have. Who has been given much, much is required. We could go through that in the Bible. But, you know, it's what we have. It's what this is, to be a steward over that. Give proportionate to what you have. Kids, you've been given $10 by the grace of God, just generously to give to you as a resource for what you might need this week. You might need to meet a need with your $10. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what's going on. I don't know any of that. But I gave it to you, whether you worked for it or not. God would want you to use it to meet a need that you might have. He might want you to use it to meet a need in somebody else's life. He might use it to be generous in somebody else, in someone else's life. But whatever there is there, be generous in your giving to further the kingdom of God. That's up to you out of your relationship with God. That's going to be a great conversation this week with your kids, you guys. Because you can bring in, you know, that you have a house and a home and the things that you have that God has given, and they have a bedroom and a bicycle and these kind of things. And so you can look at what God has given and the resources that we have. God meets our needs. We want to be thankful and grateful for that. We may want to save for college. We want money to save for a new bicycle. I get all of the realm of it all, but you want to teach them in their heart and talk about. So what would God want us to do as if we would manage what we have to invest or participate in what God is doing in the world? Maybe you give to somebody that's hungry. Maybe you see somebody that is begging for food somewhere, and in your heart you go, you teach your kids about, you know, we want to meet a need there, whatever it might be. But see, there's no way that you would ever answer it all without a relationship with God, would you? Lord, what do we do here? How do we use it here? What's it for here, Lord? What? And that's what Paul is talking about. The stewardship with integrity also calls for a willingness to meet needs. That would be normal for him to bring up next. So first of all, it's voluntarily from your relationship with God. It's a call to be faithful to what your commitment is between the Lord, and let God work on that. It calls to be proportionate according to what you have. And then he would say, with integrity, you would manage your resources with a willingness to meet needs. Look at verse 13 through 15. Look what he says. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by the way of equality, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their needs, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that they may be there may be equality. And it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. Now, he's not talking about socialism here, that we all would have the same. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the abundance that you have, and God has given you abundance. He has given some of us more abundance than another one. It isn't really about an issue about how big that is. It's about that you have an abundance. And what God would want you to do is willingly have a willing heart to meet needs with the abundance that you've been given. He is saying the abundance that you have is to meet the need of your brother and sister that cannot meet the need on their own. He is meaning that we are to share with each other in the abundance for those who have lacked. 1 Timothy 6, Paul wrote Timothy this in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 and following. He wrote this. He told, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So it doesn't mean we don't enjoy what God has given us. It means that we do, that we have the things that we have, and we enjoy it. But we're being instructed that those that are rich, I would say that would say all of us in this present world, we don't want to be conceited or fix our hope on the uncertainty of it, but on God. But he supplied it for us. We are to enjoy it. And it says this, instruct them, verse 18, to do good and be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, a willingness to meet needs. Sharing, that's what he's talking about here. You see that you are a steward over what has God given, calls you to meet needs in other people's lives. That's why you have it, is what Paul is bringing up. And when they have it and you don't, then it kind of goes the other way. That's what he put in the text. That's why those that gathered much had no, you know, didn't have too much, and those that gathered little had no lack, because their heart attitude was to share. This is a life of a Christian. This is what it is. This is what Paul is wanting us to understand and learn. 1 John 3:17, John wrote this, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Answer that. Does it? Because the love of God would meet needs by the abundance that he's given to the people that have it, right? And the love of God abides in all of us. It's there. And yes, we may struggle. Maybe we might have to work through it, but we have a responsibility to know why brothers and sisters might have a need that it's because they weren't a good steward over the things they had. I get that. We're getting the responsibility next. And so there's an accountability, a responsibility there, that if a brother or sister was lacking something, could meet a need, you know, for us to care about them, that maybe there's some stewardship else in their life. But we have a responsibility. We have a, for the abundance that we have, that would meet the needs that people that have lack. That's what he's talking about. So are you seeing how all this is flowing together? I'm just kind of moving through it, right? And this to be in our mind and heart, what God is saying in his word and what he's teaching us, to have a stewardship of giving with integrity. That for in our heart and understand, it's a relationship with God. That's what our giving comes out of. It's voluntarily. There's no set amount. There's no set percentage. It's relational. We can handle that. We can go with that by the grace of God. God works in through that and works in the hearts of the people, and that comes about. And that we're called to for faithfulness in our commitment, just like we are in any of the commitments in the Lord, that we want to follow him and honor his word and love him and love others, share the gospel. We want to stay committed to what God has prompted on our heart to to give or invest in the kingdom of God. It's proportionate to what we have. God isn't asking somebody that has very little to give everything and somebody that has a great abundance to just give a little. That's not how that goes. God is at work in all of that, and a willingness to meet needs. But a stewardship of giving with integrity. Because it also calls for an accountability. Look at verse 16 through 23 with me. It also calls for accountability. So Paul writes next, let me get myself back there. Look at verse 16 and 17 first. He says, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you on his own accord." Now, what he's talking about is accountability here. Is he says there is accountability between pastors or elders or leaders. It's Paul, Titus, and Timothy, especially Paul and Titus. They're in agreement. That's what he's saying. Hey, Titus was in agreement. Paul shared with the church that there's a need that we needed to meet, that God is asking us to give generously to meet the need in the Jerusalem church because they're in their poverty. Paul's been sharing that through the churches, that this is what God has prompted on his heart, that we are to give to the work of the Lord, to the work of the ministry. And then Titus said, yep, that's what it is. And Timothy said, yep, that was what it is. And in the earnestness of his heart, Titus went on his own and told the Corinthians, yep, that's what we're to be doing. This is God's work, what he's doing. See, there's an accountability between the leadership on what the resources God has given is to be invested in. That's really what he's talking about. Accountability calls for among leaders. Titus, on your own accord, the spiritual passion, and the same as areas of Paul. They hold each other accountable. We could just take the direction of this church and the investment that we're making in fixing it up. This isn't one person's idea, two people's idea. This is the elders, in a sense, knowing from God that he has asked us to do this in our life, to go to carry on the work of the ministry, to carry on growing the saints, winning the lost, and this is what he's put on all our hearts. It's not about one or two guys promoting something. It's about the leadership having the same spiritual passion, earnestness to go forward with what God has. There's an accountability there. And that's what Paul is bringing out here. There's an accountability there. That's how you handle it rightly. The resources God has given between the leadership, they're not like, oh, I don't want to do that, but you do, let's do it. You see what I'm talking about? But then there's also an accountability God calls for among the leadership, and then there's accountability of the collection and distribution of the resources that God provides for the church. And that's what he's talking about next. Now, for some of you, finances aren't really the greatest thing. You know, I'm teaching right now is a accountant's class. But these are important issues. So there has to be an accountability between the elders, but then there's accountability on the distributing and collecting other resources. Look at verse 18 and following. This is what Paul says. He says this, "We have sent along with him," that's Titus, "the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in the gracious work which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, 20, taking precautions, so no one will discredit us in the administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." Verse 22, "And we have sent with him our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. And for Titus, he's a partner and fellow worker among us. As for the brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ." Did you hear what he just said? He said a couple of people are going with these guys. Listen to what kind of character they have. We sent along with him a brother whose fame in the things of the gospel is spread throughout the churches. Not only this, the church appointed him. The body of Christ, the family of God, said, "Hey, this guy, we want to appoint this guy. He's going to go travel with you. Make sure the collection goes straight. Make sure the administration goes straight." Because verse 20, "We're taking precautions so that no one would discredit the administration." That's the managing, that's the distributing of what God has given as resources. Take it right into church. What the monthly budget is and where it goes. This is what he's talking about. And in verse 22, he says, "And we sent another brother, has been tested and found diligent. You know what this all amounts to? This is a finance committee. Elders, accountable to each other, to the direction, where the money's going, what it's going to be spent on, finance committee, on the collection of it and the administration of it. And look what he said in verse 21. For we have regard for what's honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We do here. We want to be honorable in the sight of God and the sight of men. We want to be above reproach. The elders don't collect any of the giving. They don't know the giving. They don't distribute the resources in the giving. They do sign the checks, but it takes two people to sign the checks. But we want to be honorable before God and men. So stewardship of giving with integrity teaches that giving is voluntary out of your relationship with God. It calls for faithfulness to your commitment. Get what God is saying here today. To giving in relationship to what you have been given, the resources that you have, a willingness to meet needs, and calls for an accountability. I am so glad that God's word lays that out this way for us. That it's not some number to meet, but it's a life to be lived out in relationship with God for his glory. That even in the area of life, this area right here, we can trust and rely on him as he works in our lives, as we experience and witness the grace of God at work in our lives, just like all the other grace at work in our lives. That we can teach the truth of God's word to the body of Christ, that we can present what God says, be accountable to what God has given us, to handle it rightly, to use it rightly, to have vision and focus and confidence that what God is doing, and that God will give us a willingness to meet needs. God will give us a generosity, all that we looked at last week and those examples that we went through, that God is going to bring that to the heart of the church, that this is what it is. It doesn't become about, okay, honor this rule. I am so glad it's this way. That it's about us and our relationship with God, and these are the things that God is calling us to manage with integrity, the rightness that he set in our heart about these things. I think it's powerful. The stewardship of giving and integrity also calls for setting an example. This is such an important next few verses. Look at verse 24 through chapter 9, verse 4. It's absolutely amazing what God is saying here. He says this to the Corinthians, therefore. Now, always a therefore is a so then. It's a concluding statement. Everything that we've been learning from chapter 8, verse 1, all the way through 23 is therefore. Now, I can't regurgitate all that we learned there. I could try. But he says, therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and our reason for boasting about you. Talking to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 1. For it would be superfluously for me to write you about this ministry to the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you and you to the Macedonians, namely that Archaea has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you not be made empty in this case, so that I was saying you may be prepared. Otherwise, if Macedonians come with me and find out you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. Listen to what he said. Paul is saying in verse 1 and 2, it's superfluously to write about this ministry to the saints. I know your readiness. I boasted about you in Macedonia, namely in Arcadia, since last year, and your zeal sent their brethren in order that boasting may not be made empty. Listen to what he's talking about. He's telling them, the Corinthians, you know, when this all started a year ago and you guys started collecting all of this and this started working in your heart, and then I went to the Macedonian churches, I said, I used you as an example of your willingness and your zeal and your spiritual passion and your desire, the godly by grace, the things that we've just been learning all about happening in their heart to give to the work of the ministry. I used you as an example, and it stirred them up. You guys remember what their example was? 2 through 5, in much affliction, with abundance of joy, right? In their poverty, they gave generously and had a wealth of overflowing in their heart and mind to be generous He said, I used you an example in their life, and then the example that came out of them was an example we all want to live by. See, because biblically giving, being a steward over the resources that God has given, you can be an example of. And he said in Corinthians, you've been an example, continually example. Don't be a wrong example. I boasted about you to the Macedonians, spurred them to give. So I sent a brother unto you, so you'd be prepared in the bountiful gifts, so that if any of the Macedonians that I bragged about to you, and then their giving was just over the top and wonderful, and God was working by his grace and all of that sanctifying grace in their life, when they come, that there will be no shame here, there'll be no wrong example. He's saying, for your giving to be example, there needs to be integrity in your giving. And then verse 24, therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and a reason for your example. It's actually an example of love, isn't it? A love of God and a love for others. Be stewards of the giving with integrity, pointing, this is what this says in there, pointing with your finger to your love, to demonstrating love, to giving with integrity, manifesting love, be that example. That's what he's saying. Now, as I look at this body of Christ, this church, guess what? We're an example to the community around us. You know, God has worked in our hearts. God has worked in our understanding and the stewardship of what God has given us. He's worked in the body of Christ. He's worked in us in the leadership and the teaching and everything. He's been working in our life. You know what? We are an example of being a steward of our giving with integrity before the body of Christ within our community. Listen, we have the offering boxes in the back. It's a relationship with you. It's an act of worship with you. It's in your relationship and worship of God you give to the work of the ministry. Listen, we don't coerce or manipulate or share anything that says you have to. It's a voluntary thing. We have a heart to willingly meet needs, to minister within the community of Christ. We give according to what we've been given. That's works in here. It's proportionate in what we do. We understand that. We're faithful to our commitments in what God has talked about. Resources is we're steward over our building, our facility, and what we have. We have accountability. The elders hold each other accountable in that area. The finance committee holds the accountability of the collection and distribution of it. We're being an example of what it looks like to be a steward over the resources God has given. Are we perfect? What do you think? But by the grace of God, he's working in our lives, right? Is there something wrong with being an example? Is there something wrong with having it right? Is there something wrong with no, there's not, right? There's not. But, you know, God works in the body of Christ in the church. How about some of you? Are any of you an example of the love of Christ?
Nope.
Nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with having the truth of God and the love of God and being an example of the love. Any of you an example of the mercy of God? Sure you are, right? How about compassion? You got some compassion in your life? Are you an example of what it looks like in the different Christian virtues, right? Kindness, generosity, love, giving of oneself, reaching out to all the different examples that God uses for, right? But as a whole, as a body of Christ, Paul is saying to be a stewardship over the resources you've given, to be with integrity, God wants you to live an example of what that looks like before the churches. Take that home with your kids, with the things that they've been given. Because you know God is wanting to raise them up as believers in Christ and for them to understand the truths of God and then for be a living example of the transforming work of Jesus Christ in all the virtues of life. That's what God wants to do. He wants open before the churches, a pointing with our finger of the love of God active in our life by his grace. And it's okay to be an example. It's okay to be what God wants us to be in these things. It doesn't put other people down. I'm glad there's examples on how to love your wife in my life. I've learned so much by men that have been a living example. I've learned so much by men that's been a living example of how to put your nose to the grindstone and get this stuff done that you need to get done by being a man in this world that you just got to pull, you just got to do what needs to be done. You got to provide for your family. Your knee hurts, that's okay. I'm glad there's examples of grandparents that have learned how to love their grandchildren in the way that God wants to be. I'm glad there's examples. I'm glad the people that we have in our life. And so this is what Paul is saying, what he's laying out to us as being a steward with integrity over the resource God has given, that we have a responsibility to manage it in the right way. This is good. It's encouraging. It's loving. It's teaching us the truth. It's good to be an example of generosity, stewardship, not to manipulate people in relationships, faithful to commitment, giving according to what we have, willingness. It's okay to be love demonstrating the truth of God. It's good. It's what we should be. It's just great to be a part of a family of God that sees it that way, part of a church that understands it that way, that holds each other accountable, that that's what God's wanting to do in our life. With that great word we talked about today, with admonishment in Colossians, with a zeal and an energy to come alongside each other in loving care and help each other mature in Christ. And here's what the grace of God is at work in all of our lives with the stewardship, what he taught. I can say this one quickly because it's kind of straight up. Look at the last verse, what we're looking at. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go ahead to you and arrange before your previously promised bountiful gift so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. That word, covetousness, same word as greed. Stewardship, integrity of giving with integrity calls for overcoming the sin of greed. That's just the crux of the whole thing that it teaches. That's about as clear as you can get it, isn't it? This is the battle that really is in all of our lives, and our heart as a believer is not to be greedy. Am I right? So Paul works on all of this, on all the stewardship and all of that to work in our heart. What God wants to do is work in your life so you overcome the sin of self-focus, pride, greed. Jesus said it this way. In Luke 12:15, beware, be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. The truth and grace of God teaches us all believers that truth. The remedy, the battle in our hearts as a believer not to be greedy, the remedy is all that we've learned. His truth applied to our life. It's in your relationship with God and him guiding you through his truth to be a steward of giving with integrity, to give voluntarily with faithfulness according to what you have, willingly meet needs, setting an example like the Macedonians do as the body of Christ, demonstrating, proving God's love for you and your love for him with accountability. And by God's gracious work in your life, and in mind, leading us out of sin to a life of righteousness. Let me connect it with every other virtue in our life. Handling or using God's resources rightly always does that, whether it be truth or love or hope or grace or forgiveness or resources, to being steward over what God has given, his truth, his love, his hope, his grace, his forgiveness, his life, his resources, using them correctly as that he's given them to you for his glory, using him rightly always removes sin out of our life. It always does. It always will. Because that's how God works in our lives. Controlled by the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. We are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning for your word. I just would pray for the parents of the children here today, and as we use that as an illustration, that you would give them really an insight into how they can just use that in the teaching, the truths of God's word about the resources that we have. It's a big battle in all of our lives. It's a hard thing. Even Jesus would say, you know, store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. It all rests here. And he said, you can't serve two things. You can't serve mammon, which would be money, and God. You will serve one, hate the other, or hate one, love the other. It's the way it is. That's the thing of this, is in the heart of man, what it is. And we know, Lord, through your word, you're not upset that we have things. You're not upset that we enjoy things. You've given all for your purpose to be used rightly, and you want us to enjoy what we've been given. But the truth of it is, you know each and every one of our hearts. And so this virtue of giving generously, motivated by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's given so much that I have this life, really to live it outrightly is for my good. More than just the harvest, which we'll look at next week, but the good of sanctifying my life, to removing things out of my life that are holding me back from honoring you or living in the right way. It's called sin. And you are always wanting to work in our lives in that way, to guide and lead us in the right direction. So we thank you for today and your word, what you're teaching us. We thank you for the sanctifying grace of God that is changing us. We thank you, Lord, that we can live in a manner worthy, that it would be an example to anybody, because that's our desire, that people would see Christ. And in his name we pray, amen.